Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here this morning. Amen. Can you put your hands together for your beautiful pastor's wife, Pastor Joe? Come on. Amen. You may take your seat. It's such a great honor to be here this morning with you. First of all, thank you, Pastor Joe and Pastor Paul, for allowing me to be here this morning. Now, let me tell you that I'm going to share a lot of history in this session, and so that we can get to know each other. The first time I came to this church was with Apostle Maldonado many years back. And I flew in from Johannesburg to come and serve my dad. And I sat right there in the middle and I catched the people, prayed for the people, checked that all the overflows were good, served him, put on his jacket for him, and flew the next morning back to Johannesburg. Because that's what sons do. We're here to serve in the kingdom of God. Never that I know that I'm going to stand on this platform this morning. And it's all about serving. And I want to give honor to my spiritual father, Pastor Maldonado. And he blesses you this morning. He sends his love. He sends his peace to this building. And so, you know, it's just a great history for me to be here. Amen. And so my wife is here this morning. This is the blonde bomb right here. She is my everything. And we have two wonderful boys. Nikki and Miguel, Nikki is 22, getting married in December. And then my youngest child is 19, turning 20. And so those are my two boys. We love them. They're both in ministry. Nikki preached last Sunday. And both of them are actually now in Miami with the youth conference there with Apostle Maldonado. So my two boys are there. They're flying back to Johannesburg tomorrow. We're flying from London back to Johannesburg. So we are a family that just do ministry together, and we just love the Lord. That's all we do. Amen. So it's such a great honor to be here this morning. We love your nation. We love London. We love your people. What a great place to live in. You're very privileged to live here. And in about 2 months from now, your pastor is going to minister in South Africa. Amen. So she'll be coming to Johannesburg. My wife has one of the largest women conferences there in Johannesburg, and we felt that Pastor Joe is the perfect one. She's a heart surgeon to come and do some heart surgery right there in South Africa. Amen. So thank you for accepting the call. We're going to see you both there. Amen. And we're going to spoil them, and we're going to love them a lot. And then I have Livingston here and Nadine. They are our worship leaders back home. And so I've asked them to come with this whole week. We've been ministering this week in London, in various places. And this morning is obviously our last session here, and then we're going to go back home. I want to share with you just my life. And from there, I believe you're going to have an encounter with God. That's my purpose for this morning. It's my aim that you will have an encounter with the living God in whatever aspect you want. Healing, finances, miracles, whatever. And so it's always an honor for me to speak to leaders, and I consider you leaders here this morning in this first session. God has opened a lot of doors for us back home to speak to leadership and to speak to high officials, billionaires, and all these great men of God. So my mandate, God called me many years back, and he said, one of your mandates will be for the lost tribe. And I said, God, please just don't send me to India or to Kenya or Nigeria or wherever. I'm happy in South Africa. You know, I know they're all here, but I just said, you know, I'm not going there. For me, camping is a 5-star hotel. You understand? That's the highest, that's the lowest level we can go. So I said, please, God, don't send me there. And the Lord spoke to me and says, the lost tribe is the business world. He says, I'm going to send you in there. You must understand their lingo. You must understand their business mindsets. And so God has sent me into the business world. We run a couple of businesses as well. And we do a lot of business leadership seminars because I believe God is going to activate you to be a carrier of wealth in this end time move of God. Amen. Do you believe that with me here this morning? All right. So let me speak to you about the supernatural and just what I believe God wants to do for today. I want to speak to you about how to host the supernatural. How to be a carrier of the supernatural. And how you can take this into your everyday walk. Amen? And so the anointing, the supernatural, the glory of God was introduced to me very powerfully by Apostle Maldonado. Firstly, I grew up in a very charismatic home. My dad was one of the founders of the charismatic movement, the Pentecostal movement in South Africa. So there was the big five: Reinhard Bonnke, my dad, Ray McCauley, Ed Rayburn. Now, you may not know all the names, but they founded the charismatic movement, the Pentecostal movement in South Africa. Up till that point, there was no drums in church. There was no keyboards in church. Nobody was clapping hands. Nobody was speaking in tongues. No miracles. And then my dad started doing that. So every week we were on the newspaper, my dad, praying for sick people, and the newspapers would, you know, criticize him, and people speaking in tongues, demons coming out. So I had a very rich history of revival, of the supernatural. That's what we know. And so I grew up in that very strict traditional ways. We didn't have television up till I was in grade 10. No television. Didn't know what a television was. And then we figured out how this thing worked. We had a big monitor that we can only watch videos. Remember videos? VHS. Betamax, man. Yeah, Betamax. Yeah, that's the one. Put it in there. But then we figured out we can watch TV if you take a coat hanger and you put it in the back. Here's a guy that knows what I'm talking about. And you tune it. And my first program was Knight Rider, that I was introduced to television. Amen. And so we watched it, and my dad would go do Bible college, and we would listen. When he comes home, take out the coat hanger, put in the cables again, and watch Jimmy Swaggart, and we're all holy again, you know. So that's how we grew up. My dad was a very powerful man, great man of God, did a lot of miracles, signs, wonders, had a massive tent, 25,000-seater tent. It's as big as half of the Wembley Stadium. It took about a month to erect this whole tent. And so he did crusades with that in South Africa. And he did it he pitched it up once, twice, and then my dad fell in sin, and we lost everything. And we lost everything in 24 hours. You know, Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn and all these people were our friends, and they gave money into the missions into South Africa, and my dad fell in sin. And then we lost literally everything in 24 hours. We used to stay on the beach, and we lost that home, and we ended up in a caravan park. My mom, myself, and my brother and my two sisters. And my mom had to sell her boutique clothes on the street corners of Cape Town to get money in so that we can have bread at night to eat. So we went from the high to the very low in a couple of minutes. Everything was lost. Everything was taken away. You must understand, in the 80s, I'm talking about the 80s now. In the 80s, divorce was from the devil, and nobody's allowed. Still from the devil. But, I mean, there's no condemnation for you. Understand? Back then, they didn't understand the grace of God. And they didn't understand how to restore people. So it was a very difficult time for us. And by the grace of God, I never developed bitterness in my heart towards the church, towards people. I would sit in church just like you and do Bible college. And while I do Bible college, they would announce from the platform, read a letter. If you see this man, Nicky van der Westhuizen, don't greet him. Avoid him, don't eat with him because he's divorced. You understand? So understand how legalistic the system was back then. I thank God for his grace. So I never developed bitterness in my heart. And then in 1993, my dad passed away in a car accident. And for 1993 up till 1999, I worked in the secular world. Became a businessman, became very successful. But not really serving God like I should, you know. Just, I'm a lukewarm Christian. And then I had an encounter with God to call me into the full-time ministry. Well, the encounter took place before my dad actually died. 2 years before he died, Jesus appeared in my room. And he says, I've called you as a Joshua, just like I did with Moses, I'll do with you. I didn't understand the full concept. 2 years later, my dad died, and I took my Bible and I threw it on the bed. I said, God, how can you take a young man, 45 years old? How can you take him like that? All the prophecies. And the Bible opened at Joshua 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, I spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. And so I believe that I'm carrying a mandate for a generation that's going to move in the power of God very strongly. And so we started the ministry in 1999. All great. Started evangelism. Had our own tent, running across South Africa, preaching the gospel, seeing signs, wonders, and miracles, great things. In 1999, and here was my first encounter, and this is what I'm going to share with you for this morning, and I'll share you another encounter. 1999, I was invited to go and preach in a nation called Namibia. It's just next to South Africa. So they invited me. They said, please come, and back then, they used to send faxes to us. For the young people, I'm not going to even try to explain to you what it is. It's a piece of paper that comes through a machine. All right, that's just how it is. But it's a fax. And they said, we invite you to come and preach in Namibia. These will be the dates. This will be the cost, the honorarium. So we'll pay you 130 Namibian dollars per service. And we will pay for all the accommodation and flights and stuff. In my heart, I was so excited. I'm going to go out of South Africa now. And the Lord said to me, you will go, but you're not taking anything. And you're not accepting anything. So for me, it was fine. I then replied and I said, I'll come on my own expense, stay in my own place, anything. I'm just coming to bless you. They replied back and said, we have to pay you something. $130 per service. I replied, it's fine. I'm not interested in that. However, let me help you build and receive offerings for you. So they replied back to me, third fax, and said, it's fine, but remember, $130 is the max we can give because we had Miles Monroe here, Reinhard Bonke, and they couldn't even get $130 per night in a service. And so I went there. They picked me up at the airport. We drove 4.5 hours to our first meeting. They checked me into a hotel guest house. The next morning, 5 o'clock, a shaking took place on my door. I thought, who's breaking in? Who's going to kill me in another nation? What's happening here? And when I opened my eyes, this massive demon stood in my room. Filthy clothes, hateful. Or hate in his eyes, angry. I jump out of the bed. I run out of the room. I'm like, what is this? I've never seen a demon. You know, I'm not even into that. Like, what's going on here? Back then, I had long hair. Difficult to believe. I had long hair. I had hair, at least. But anyway, all the hair stood up. And I was like shaking. I said, God, what is this? And the Lord spoke to me, he said, this is the spirit of poverty. Your mandate is to confront and set my people free. So since 1999 up till today, 20 years later, I'm here even this morning just to break that thing a little bit over your life and over your generations. Amen. And I'm not preaching about money. It's not about money. It's got nothing to do with money. It's not about getting an offering. This is about breaking a thing in your life that you can walk out here today. Know that your children's children can walk in the favor of God. How many of you want that this morning? And so I've seen this spirit operating. I'll see him. I smell him. I sense him sometimes. And don't think it's because, you know, of poor people. That's the spirit of poverty. No, I'm talking about rich people that operate in the spirit of poverty. Let me show you one of the manifestations of a spirit of poverty. It's always cheap. It always wants stuff for free. That's a poverty spirit. Yeah. Huh? They will drive 40 minutes to the other side of town to save £1. But the petrol costs them more, the bus, because poverty can't think like that. Amen? And so I've been to rich people, like I told you. I hang around with some of the great guys, let me just say this. Some of them are wealthy, but they poor in their giving. That spirit controls their giving. So when I go and have a barbecue at their homes, they will tell me, I mean, everything is nice, but you will have one chicken wing, and you will have one piece of steak, and you will have a handful of salad. That's it. It's like, can I have more chicken wings? No, unfortunately, we calculated that that's how many you're going to have today. And when it comes to offering time, their giving is poor. And so I'm here today to tell you, I'm going to break that thing in a couple of minutes from now over your lives, that God is going to set you free in the name of Jesus. How many of you want that for your children, for your life? Because I believe this is what God wants to do today. Amen. I did not plan on preaching this. I've got a different message here. But I sense the Spirit of God is pulling me towards you. Because there's somebody in your family that's crying out and says, I want to break out of this thing. I'm going to break out of poverty in the name of Jesus. Is that right? And so when God started helping with that, we came out of poverty, man. From poor, nothing. My wife and myself, when our firstborn child came, Nikki, now look at the cycle. When he came, he was born 6 months, nearly 8 months later, we were homeless people. My wife and myself were homeless people. I'm standing here today to tell you that 20 years ago, I was a homeless person, begging for food, asking for money, living on the streets, living with people in the back rooms, living with no car, no home. We had a jacket to hold ourselves warm. That's where we come from. So I'm not standing here with any motives. I'm just telling you, if God can do it for a South African guy, taking me from a homeless life to becoming a person today that, and I don't want to speak a lot about this, but we have 4 businesses. We have, I think, 5 or 6 properties. We have multiple streams of income. We preach around the world. We have finances. We lack nothing. And I'm not boasting in that. I just want to tell you where I come from. But I had to break that thing in my life. And I had to say, God, I'm coming out of this today. I am not going to stay 1 minute longer in this situation. How many of you say amen to this? How many of you want to come out of your just poverty in life? And so that spirit is going to be broken, I believe, in your life. And your children, my children, are blessed today. Amen. They are prosperous because of the curse that was broken. Now the Bible says this. He says that Jesus took our curse. The curse brought in 3 things. It brought in sin, sickness, and poverty. Right. Sin came in, sickness came in, and poverty came in. Jesus Christ took care of that. When he came in, he removed sin, he removed sickness, and he removed poverty. I've seen this. We've seen 3 people raised from the dead in our ministry. But let me just tell you this. It's more difficult for people to believe for money than it is for the dead persons to be raised. We see cancers healed last week, deaf ears opening, blind eyes seeing here in your nation. It's a norm. But when you start pushing against the spirit of poverty, it holds people. It's a strong man. It's a strong spirit. But I'm telling you today in the name of Jesus, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ is going to come into your heart, into your life. It's going to break every mold, every poverty in this church. This church's finances is about to shift. Your life is about to shift. How many of you believe that with me here today? Hallelujah. And so I truly believe that God has sent me here to break this thing over your life. So that curse of poverty was broken, and we are blessed, and we are moving forward. But then the next thing I had, I had to have an encounter with the supernatural presence of God. And so we started the church in 2004. Very small church. We bought a small Baptist church, or we rented a Baptist church. We rented a Baptist church, could only seat 50 people. And started renting this building, and then eventually we asked them, can we buy it from them? We only had 100 people back then, and they said, we'll rather let it stand empty, but we're not giving it to charismatic people. So I just started building relationship with the pastor. And 6 months later, he said, okay, you can buy the building. He says, there's actually not a lot of difference between us. Baptist, you're just loud. But we still believe in Jesus. I said, come on, that's now the common ground we have here. So let's buy the building. And then he said, you can buy it for R1 million in our currency. I didn't have the money. We had 10,000 rand saved in our account. And I said to the financial team, take that 10,000 and find a church that's building and just sow everything in there. And they started sowing into that building. And then the Baptist church says, you can buy it for R1 million, but you're going to have to put down R1 million in 7 days. And I knew I didn't have R1 million, but I told him, yeah, where do you want R1 million? He says, well, meet me at the attorney's. Where do you want it? Can we meet somewhere? He says, I want to meet you at the attorney's, my attorney's, at 9 o'clock Thursday morning. So I said, it's fine. We just started praying. We released the gifts. We released the finances. The Wednesday night, the night before, at 5:30, a businessman phones me. He says, I want to see you. So we drove out there, got to his home. He says, what do you believe in God for? I said, man, I'm believing God for R1 million to put down, to buy a property. So he says, this is what he does. He takes out his checkbook, shows me, says, look what the Lord shared with me. The R1 million was already written out. He just had to put the date and to whom it must be given to out. Now, here's the thing. He's not in my church. He's not a member of my church. He's never been a member up till today of my church. I've only invited him for the opening of the building. That's it. God can speak to people that you don't even know, man, that's somewhere hidden, and God can cause things to start happening. If He can do it in South Africa, I'm sure He can do it right here in London for you as well. Amen. And so we paid the next morning. I went to the attorneys and we gave the R1 million down, and we bought that building. And we started expanding to 130 people, seats. And we packed that out every Sunday. Every Sunday, but church was packed out, 130 people. 3 services eventually on a Sunday. And then we said, well, we need to build. And we started building a bigger building. And so we built a 1,500-seater auditorium, brand new, 2010. We opened that building. And today, we are a mega church. We have everything we need. But there was one thing lacking, and that was the presence of God. All the stuff was there, but the presence wasn't there. Although I operated in that, when it came to church, that's a different ballgame. As an evangelist, you can go and preach, and you get out of there, and the anointing is there, and everybody lays, and you're gone. At church, you're dealing with administration, you're dealing with stuff, and all of a sudden, I went, and I started moving into a seeker-sensitive church. Because that was the fastest growing church system back then, or still is. So we invited entertainers, sports stars, musos, idols. Everybody was on the platform to draw the crowd. They would bring the crowds in. But the next Sunday, I'm back to square one without the presence of God. And we've tried every system there was. In 2011, my wife and myself sitting in our bed watching Days of Glory. It was 7 Days of Glory live broadcast on television with Apostle Maldonado. As I watched this the Wednesday night, the deaf ears started opening. I turned to my wife. I said, we used to operate in this. We've neglected this. We're trying to grow church without all these things, and it's not working. And the next moment, Apostle Maldonado turns towards the television camera and says, there is a pastor watching me right now. Used to operate in signs, wonders, and miracles. And he started prophesying my life. And he says, your name is Pastor Nikki. Just like that. I'm telling you, we fell out of the bed. I prayed. I cried. I knew it was me. Because firstly, Nikki in Spanish is not really a name for them. And Nikki is a woman's name and all this stuff. So I just knew this is me. And I knew where I come from. I and I just we just cried. The next morning, I flew down to the conference, 2011. I sat right in the front. He didn't know me. I didn't know him. I'm standing. He's preaching about the glory of God, the fatherhood of God, and just started sharing. And the next moment, he says this, I'm going to let you have an encounter with God. I'm going to take you to that place to have an encounter with God. And he says, lift your hands, close your eyes, and pray in the Holy Ghost as loud as you can. Now, I stood there as a pastor. I'm doing the normal thing, lifting my hands halfway, one eye open to see if everybody's doing their job. You know, it's not even my church, but I just look at everybody. And then the next moment, I said to myself, I'm going to enter in. And I lifted my hands, and I started praying the Holy Ghost as loud as I could. And he came and he laid his hands upon me. I fell under the power of God. And I was stuck to that floor for 40 minutes. I couldn't get up. The service was closed. Everybody left. I was laying there. An usher stood next to me, waiting for me to get up. I'm laying there thinking, can you please pick me up? I can't get up. Only my eyes is moving. And then I just closed my eyes. And the next moment, I felt water on my face. And I thought, in my mind's running, I'm thinking, is this usher crazy? Is he spilling water on me? And I feel the water. And I saw, no, he's not standing close to me. I thought maybe the church, there's rain coming through. Something's happening. Why am I so wet? And I closed my eyes and I saw Jesus Christ taking a golden flask of oil and pour it like this all over me. Now, since that moment, we have seen oil manifesting in churches. Now, I don't know why, please don't. I think it's from the encounter that it happens, you know. But we've just seen the presence of God. When I got up from that floor, it was no longer Nikki van der Westhuizen. It was a brand new man, hungry for the living God. 2011, June 2011, I got up as a new man. And I've never lost my hunger. I have never lost that desire to know God more and more. It wasn't just an encounter. Because that's the problem in the church. We fall, we get up, and we're just the same. You must continue sustain the move of God. Hungry for God. Thirsty for God. Let me tell you this. There is a look on hunger. When you give a sandwich or a burger to a person who's hungry, he doesn't analyze that burger. He just eats it because he's hungry. When the presence of God came, I wasn't interested in who said what, who did what. What does Google say? I just wanted God in my life. And then eventually I got up there. I walked back to the green room. And I sat right next to Maldonado. And he said this to me. He says, what's your name? And I said, well, my name is Nikki and you prophesied last night. And I shared with him the testimony. And the next moment he says, I feel the fire of God in my right hand. He says, this is for creative miracles. He says, take my hand. And I took his hand and he imparted it into me. And then the next moment he stood up. I stood up with him. There's 100 pastors, just like you had with your tables here. Tables all over. He stood up and he looked at me and says, you must repent before your church that you have quenched the Spirit of the living God. He says, and if you repent, I will bring back my glory. He says, if you grieve the Holy Spirit, when you sin. Quenching is cut off the supply. He says, you've cut off the supply. He doesn't know anything. And he says, God sent me to this nation to unblock the wells of the supernatural, and you'll be a carrier of the supernatural. I walked back on Sunday on that platform, and let me tell you, I stood in front of my church. We could never break through 500 people. We were just a mediocre church. I stood before my people and I said to them, today your pastor is repenting before you that I have quenched the Spirit of the living God through times, programs, all these things, and let's repent before God. We repented after the service. People lined up like this, Pastor Joe, and they said to me, please don't repent. We must repent because we place time limits on the things of God. We have restaurant appointments and family appointments and God is nowhere in this. And I repented from that day. The glory of God came back in our church. Sick people are being healed. The dead are being raised. Things are happening. And we've grown past the 500 mark. We are now nearly 4,000 members. We nearly have 60 covering churches under us. We were not on television. Now we reach 200 million people per day on television in Africa, Europe, in America. Things are just happening. God has opened nations to us just because of one thing. Just when I said, God, I refuse to quench you anymore. And let the presence of God came back in our lives. So how do I host this supernatural? It's something that provokes me about the presence of God. If I look at the Apostle Paul, handkerchiefs were sent to people and they were healed. He knew what was on him. We all have the Holy Ghost in us. But do you know what you're carrying on? And so we need to know, what do I carry on me? If we have to now go to a room, and my wife and myself had an argument, even if you walk in that room and we smile and we're all happy, you will know something is not right. Why? Because the atmosphere, well, you carry something on you. Catherine Kuhlman will just walk into a restaurant and people fall under the power of God that's walking behind her because she knew what was on her. And then Jesus, and this is what provokes me about him. He walks down the streets and a woman touched him. And he said, who touched me? They said, a lot of people are touching. He says, no, I'm so conscious of what's on me. I know what I'm carrying. So that when somebody touched me, I felt power, virtue flow out of me. What do you carry on? When you walk in that business room, in that boardroom, what do you carry? Are you conscious of what you carry? Are you aware of what you're carrying? Do you realize what you're carrying? If you can change your mindset today and say, I'm carrying wealth. I am an influencer. I'm a leader. I'm an anointed person. When you become like that, start having a mind of that, conscience of that, things will start happening in your life. John chapter 1 verse 32, the Bible says, and Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit in the Jordan. And when he came up from the Jordan, the Bible says, and the Holy Spirit remained on him. Remained on him. Can I use that towel quickly? So this is it. The Bible says, and the heavens, John 1, 32, the heavens opened up. That word opened means the same as when the day when he died and the earth was shaking and the veil was torn. That's the same power on baptism. When he got baptized, you can look on the screens. When he was baptized, the earth started shaking. Things started happening. The heavens opened up and the dove came down from heaven. And it remained on him. That means everywhere he walked, it was on him. If a dove should come this morning and sit on your shoulder, how would you walk? How would you talk? Because I would walk conscious of the dove. I would not shout. I would not scream. I would walk very carefully. Because I am conscious of the Holy Ghost the whole time. And Jesus was conscious of the effect of the Holy Spirit upon him. He didn't do anything, said anything to disturb the presence of God upon his life. And I believe that's where the church lacks a little bit. Is we just say stuff. We just act like we, you know, oh, this is me, accept me. No, no, no. Be conscious of this. When you're conscious of this, you will live a life full of the anointing of God and the presence of God. As I come in for a close, I was invited to go and preach in a Catholic church in West Monroe, Louisiana. So I said to the father, are you sure you're speaking to the right guy? I mean, aren't you confused with somebody else? He says, no, I want you to come. So I went there, all dignified, going for the Catholic church. Never preach in the Catholic church. Never. I didn't even know what to do in the Catholic church. Here I go. I meet him before the service, the father, with his robe and everything. He says, this is the protocol. We're going to walk like this. You're going to go onto the pulpit. Don't touch the altar. da 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 da, tells me the whole thing. I go, stand on the pulpit. I prepared a message called The Seven Gateways to Influence. And the reason why I chose that is because I knew the Holy Ghost is not going to pitch up. There's not going to be any manifestations. There's not going to be, I'm just speaking about influence. I treated my mind like I'm just going to speak to a secular leadership conference. So I stood there on the platform. Thank everybody. And then the next moment, I said, I want to give you 7 points. Started with point number one. By point number two, I started hearing the dove coming to the building. And I'm thinking, not today. Like, please, another day, another time, another church. Holy Ghost, do you understand where I look at all the statues here, please? The flapping of the wings of the Holy Ghost, of the dove. There's something interesting if you want to study a dove. He's got 9 feathers on each side, 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. And so this dove, I could hear the flapping of the wings. I'm trying to resist him. Trying to resist him. The next moment, he comes into that place with his power. I'm standing there and I said this. I said, I am very sorry, but I have to now flow with what the Holy Ghost wants. I said, let me just, by the way, tell you that Mary also spoke in tongues. She was in the upper room on the outpouring of in Acts. She was there with the disciples and the Holy Ghost was poured out and she started speaking in tongues. I showed them the scripture. I said, so what is about to happen? Happened to Mary. So you might as well just take it all in. And I said, how many of you are sick? Because that's my gifting. How many of you are sick? I said, please come to the front. So they stood up. They lined up like this, Pastor Joe. So I said, no, you need to come and line up. Can you please stand like this? So they all came in, stood in the front. I looked for the biggest man in the audience. I said, sir, would you come and help me? And he came to the front. I said, please just stand here. He says, for what? So I said, if they fall, put them down. He goes, fall. I said, yeah, just trust me. Just stand behind me. So I'm praying the power of God in that place, releasing the anointing of God. I mean, the presence of God is so strong there. I walked to the first person. I said, what's wrong? She says, I've got back problem. Prayed for her. She fell. That guy just like catches her. Second person, third person, deaf. God opened the deaf ear. By the fifth person, they just started falling under the power of God. That one guy is just running like a crazy man, trying to catch people here. And the one person, the one lady fell, and she started laughing in the Holy Ghost. And I'm thinking, of all the gifts, of all the stuff, why laughter in the Holy Ghost? Come on. Let them cry, Holy Spirit, please. And she's laughing and stuff. So now I'm going back. I'm starting to pick up. What went wrong? Now I couldn't move for 10 years. Deaf for 13 years. I'm in the Catholic Church now having a revival. And so I said, well, the Holy Ghost is available for you. How many of you want it? They lift their hands. I said, now be filled with the Holy Spirit. They started speaking in tongues. This one person, how awesome is that? The next moment after that, I mean, this is like charismatic chaos. Yeah, the Father stood right in front of me. And I'm thinking, well, it's out of my hands in any way. So I said, do you want to have the pulpit? He says, I've got glaucoma in my eyes. Can you pray for me? I said, lift your hand, sir. Prayed for him. 3 days later, he phones me. He says, can you come to my office? Came there. He said, here's the reports. All the glaucoma gone out of my eyes. How awesome is this? Come on, we serve a supernatural God. I believe it's going to come back in the United Kingdom. An outpouring of the Holy Ghost in every denomination. Would you stand with me? I want to pray with you. I'm going to close this meeting right now. Would you lift your hands? Sobre bege sabrama. The presence of the Holy Ghost is going to fill this house, fill this place. You're going to have an encounter with the living God. Come on. The next 5 minutes. I don't want you to be distracted with anything or anybody. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Sobrabo sebre bege sobramanda. Father, we want an encounter with your presence this morning. We want an encounter with the supernatural power of God this morning.